This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
MIA with Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
You are locked in to FUBAR Radio and I am literally fangirling to the max because I've got MIA in the studio right now. Oh my God. Thank you so much for coming down to have a chat with us. Very exciting day today. AIM is out.
It's finally out.
It's finally now. You're eating a whisper. You're feeling good.
Yeah. Not going to be whispering. It's actually an aero.
Oh, is it? Oh, I thought it was a whisper. Oh, that's changed. That's changed things for me.
No, but whispers are my second favourite.
That's your thing. Oh, Okay. So aero's first, whisper second.
Yeah, when I need to shut the fuck up and I've said way too many things, I eat a whisper.
It's so weird because my first question was always going to be, what is your favourite chocolate?
Really?
No. But I wish it had been. So you must feel pretty
chocolate
relieved.
Chocolate full stop is my favourite chocolate. Do you know what I mean? I don't care who
anything,
makes it, how it comes,
do.
If it's organic or not. I just don't care.
You just need to eat it.
Yeah.
So you must be pretty buzzing today. Finally out. It's been coming for a little while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were waiting a long time for it to be released? Or was this, you know, you were working on it up until this point?
It was originally going to come out in July,
yeah.
I think, and now it's September, which I like because it's 9/9, and if you add 2016, it makes 9.
Oh, that yeah. I didn't even get that. That is so sick.
9/9/9. Call the emergency. AIM is out. Go get it. Fire engine.
Cool me down. Whoop, whoop. It's the sound of the police. MIA's album is out. Yeah, it must have been a bit of a relief coming out then. If it's meant to be out in July, but you've obviously still been working on it since then, yeah? Since July to now, have you still been... Oh, you've literally let it go?
Yeah. So the only thing that got added from July to now is Zane.
Yes. Oh, let's talk about Zane.
Everybody wants to talk about Zane, I'm Zane.
Well, I reckon you brought it up first. I probably brought it up first. Right?
I said something that was true because that is what we made in that last two months. But,
Was that sort of a thing that you have been interested in doing? If you wanted to work with Zane for a while, were you interested in his sort of solo stuff? Or
no, last year I wrote a song for Zane, but it didn't get used.
So you had hooked up already in a way?
Yeah. But because it was not very good. And
I can't believe that.
Yeah. It was not very good. And then I just left it, and then he got on my album. You know,
well, it's a sick track. It's nice to have that because it's not very like it's quite unexpected, to be honest. It's quite cool to pop something on the record that's completely not what people would expect, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely not, you know, there are things I had to deal with about myself on this record, and like personal stuff and professional things, political things. And I think working with Zane was part of that process to be like, okay, you know, it's about bridges. And I'm just a bridge, of, you know, in the middle of many communities and societies and stuff. And it was nice bridging the gap between my world and his.
Yeah,
really.
Definitely. Yeah. For me, you're an incredibly inspirational, and for the world probably, an incredibly inspirational artist when it comes to putting across socio-political, cultural situations, not just in your music, but also in your videos, in your clothes, everything you wear. Because I feel like you look incredible today, number one, but you always integrate fashion within your what you do, it seems, from the outside perspective. I wanted to know how important it is for you to be putting across these messages to your fans and also to anyone listening to your music.
It's weird because I never really like separated things out, you know. I think when you're just kind of, oh look, there's a camera up there as well.
Catching you.
Yeah, I think everything is a part of when you're trying to express yourself and create an identity and express yourself and about your identity. All of these things are useful, do you know what I mean? So fashion definitely is. And also I went to St. Martin's, so it's just ingrained into my DNA by now that it's like it can be political, can be whatever you want it to be, really. I have moments, you know, when things sort of come together, whether you're conscious about it or not, and then I have moments where you just like... Generally, I just want to be comfortable, you know, and... Yeah, it's fun at the same time.
Does music make you comfortable? Does it pull you out of your comfort zone a lot of the time?
Well, making music's definitely comfortable. You know, it's nice to do that. But obviously when I come out of my cave and sometimes I get caught up in storms, yeah, then you're not really in music, you know, you're in a different space. And yeah, those kind of things is different. You know, when you do shows, like, you become the art, and you know, even though people want to hear the music and that's why they're there, your presentation of how you're, you know, stood there is important as much as the song. And that's weird for me still, really.
It must be so hard. I have no idea how you deal with that on a level. Like, it must be so hard to have every angle looked at. A bit like in this room with all the cameras, you know? Like, every angle is being analysed at the same time.
Yeah, it's weird because you... Like, my thing wasn't being famous or being a pop star. Like, I came to it and sort of accidentally. And my thing was always trying to be behind the scenes. And, you know, I wanted to go to film school so I could tell other people's stories, not my own, you know. And it just, the music sort of made me tell mine. And so then you become, you know, the fame is, like, sort of added as a byproduct to the music. So you have to deal with it, and it's really weird. And it's not like I have got a community where I could, like, call up and be like, hey, you know, MIA before me, like, how was it for you? And what do you think the pitfalls I should avoid, you know?
Yeah.
There's no one I can really call. And in an Asian community way, or a sort of, you know, Sri Lankan community, whatever it is, you know, it's a weird one for them, so they just ignore that bit. My friends just ignore that bit, and if I got problems with it, they're just like,
So you feel a bit like a lone ranger in a sense.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah,
your fans have been going nuts on, I've been watching Twitter all night, they're so excited, like, literally,
they're excited.
Yeah, gagging for more even now. Like, then
it's not fair.
Like, yeah, you're like, give me a break.
17 songs, but no, I do feel for them because they're so on me.
Yeah,
and by the time it got pushed to September and got released 999, most of the songs have been released.
Yeah,
so the only one that they've never heard, right, is like Finally, maybe, is the only one that hasn't been released yet. And everything else, and Survivor, everything else has been released already. So they're just like, are you serious? Do you know what I mean? They're like, is this for real? But I needed to do that just to collect all my shit and put it onto one album, because I just, like, you know, I feel like I've trained them to be like, if you want music, you know, it could come out of anywhere. You could be in the Tesco's queue and you know that I could just put a music out right there in the queue, you know, just like random places you'll find me. But this album just needed to exist to collect all those bits together and put it out again.
And in such a way, it works so incredibly well together. Like, everything formulates in such a way, and I feel like there's loads of messages coming out of there. But I wanted to ask what your message was from AIM, like what you wanted to put across from this album. It's a really broad, difficult question, I understand.
It is. The one that I've been saying, which is the easiest way to explain, is like, because everyone's like, oh my God, MIA's gone soft. Like, what's happened? And, you know, people are sort of like, I don't want them to, like, take the piss out of the United colours of, like, Bennett and Ness of this album. But I grew up in a time where, you know, I was inspired by lots of things, and I made 5 albums, and I just feel like if kids want the aggro side of me, it's there on my previous stuff, you know.
Yeah, you're still a bad girl.
Yeah, still, that's not going to go away, you know, but it's just coming to terms with things and trying to get balanced and trying to figure out, okay, this is, you know, my friends are like, well, you're just not going to be with anyone ever, or, you know, it's difficult for you to be normal because I've gone from so many extremes. And so, you know, it's difficult for people to understand, or one person to understand all of it, you know, because you're constantly sort of moving the boundaries of what things can be or how it's perceived, you know. So, like, my story isn't just like, oh, I used to be really poor and, you know, I came from a council flat and look at me now, I live in Beverly Hills. You know, and it's not just, oh, yeah, I was part of the Tamil struggle, because I was, you know, coming from a political family in Sri Lanka who already were weird amongst other Tamil families, you know. And then to come from that and then you become a pop star to talk about it, which is already weird for Tamils, you know. It's like, they're like, well, what are you going to do with music, you know, that people can't solve with guns on a real battlefield? And so I've had those things throughout my career. And finally, all of these things come together and you just have to, like, accept it. It's like, that's just what it is. It's that vast, and maybe one person can be that complicated, and it's not a negative thing, you know.
It's an exciting thing as a fan, as a big fan of yours. It's an exciting thing to experience your life through music, because it is ever changing. It is always going to be something else. You're letting something else out.
Yeah, I feel like I could have only happened once they invented Wikipedia. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so confusing. If I fucking existed before Wikipedia, it'd be over. Like, I never would have made it. It's as simple as that. You know, yeah. I owe my success to, like, the internet and Wikipedia especially, because you can be like, oh, where's Sri Lanka? Or what the fuck is a Tamil? Or, you know, where's St. Martin's? And who went there before? You can just click on all these things, because you just put the weirdest communities together, you know.
Yeah, and, totally. Social media is like...
Yeah, it's like a musical form of Wikipedia. That's what I am. That's my career.
When you first started, you were putting tracks on MySpace as well. And that was like a good... I mean, social media has been a huge part of your career. Mm. And you're really... What's exciting as an artist, for fans specifically, is you're really, like, on social media. You talk to your fans on Twitter and you use Periscope and all the other stuff. Is it for you important to connect directly with the fans in that way, or is it just a personal thing that you enjoy using social media?
Well, I don't know. It's like a blessing and a curse, you know, because for someone like me, social media is, like, super important, because you're no longer at the hands of the media. And every day I wake up and I go, today is the day I'm going to delete all my social media. I have that thought every day.
Don't get me wrong,
I do. But then it just puts me back in the, you know, then what am I going to do? You know what I mean? So
it's scary nice to be off social media, but it's scary to be on it at the same time, right?
Yeah, it's like, on the one hand, I'm just like, no, now I'm going to go and, like, move to a mountain and meditate. Yeah. I don't want social media. But on the other hand, it's like, no, look, I've learned all these things and it can actually be useful. It just gets interpreted wrong by the media sometimes.
Yeah.
So you do need direct access to your fans to be like, oh no, remember when they said that 6 years ago? Yeah. You know, now they're saying the opposite. And can we talk about this?
You can quote retweet that from 6 years ago and be excuse me.
Like, you can't, you know, it's like quite nice to have the history.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's so weird. All I had were battles, and now they're taking the battles away from me.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on a minute. I got nothing to show for it but battles. So let's, like, talk about those battles, because they were important battles, you know. And if we've changed now, then it's interesting to look at it, to be like, oh, you couldn't be a musician and say that 6 years ago, and now you can.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you've got your own, like, history to show that, because nobody else did that.
No.
Yeah.
It's super, like, exciting for the fans as well to be able to, like, do the same. And also, they always pick up on everything that's ever happened. I don't know how people know on social media, like, 10 years ago this was said, 5 years ago this was said.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that either.
I feel like everybody is always screenshotting someone's tweets right now. Hmm. Like, always, always, always. Talking of social media, you tweeted, my LP is my breakup LP with music. I'm hoping this means maybe not the end of music, just the end of albums. Is that right?
No, it was a breakup album with the musical soundtrack.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a breakup.
Just tell
with
me
music on.
Just tell me it doesn't mean that you're going away. Just tell me it doesn't mean you're leaving us.
No, I think, you know, I had 5 albums to make with Interscope, and Janelle will tell you different. She's like, no, you're going to make some more. But, you know, I feel like I've done that. And now if I was going to make another album, I would like to make it in a different format or some other form. But I feel like, you know, if I was going to make music for my fans, then I would just make it and put it out.
Yeah.
And or I would have to sign to not a label.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was thinking about that, trying to be... Is it Chief Keef that just, like, signed to, like, a random person?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really interesting now, where I could just... I feel like, you know, maybe I could go and, like, sign to Walker's Crisps or, like, you know, like...
I mean, I want to sign to the Walker's Crisps right now. Like, that would be sick.
Yeah, because I don't know how I benefit from being signed to, like, a label, you know.
A lot of people, a lot of music artists are doing it. A lot of artists are going, you know,
yeah, and it's weird. It's weird once, like, labels start having a political agenda. You know what I mean? And then you're just like, oh, that's so boring. Because you want music to be a place where it bypasses politics and it bypasses, like, governments and bypasses all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole point, you know, and it should be, like, the people's space.
Yeah.
But the career I've had, you know, it's been so up and down, and it's not always the label's fault, but it's the times changed, and, you know, if you're signing to certain labels or certain corporations, it is political and it's not fair, you know, because I'm always caught up in these sort of ignorant kind of wheels of corporate decisions that, you know, could change depending on who's running it, you know, and I just don't want to be in that situation again. This is like a big statement right here, because I haven't really talked about it like this. So, yeah, it's just what I've been thinking, really, you know. Yeah.
It's a huge statement. I want to almost not say anything for, like, 2 minutes now after that. Like,
yeah, you know.
But it's an exciting step to know that you want to take, you know, in a way. It's like, you know, you want something different.
I want something different. I want musicians to not be closely, you know, guarded with what they can and can't say. And
I heard you speaking about Rihanna when she tweeted Free Palestine and it was deleted, and that's a perfect example of...
Yeah, that is. And then when I talked about it, like, I had the shitstorm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really make it clear that that's why I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does then come down to actually affecting, you know, like... Yeah, Brianna said Free Palestine, and I made an observation to be like, oh, damn, she can't even say that.
Mm-hmm.
From England, you know, where you think you could say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And, then it got turned against me, you know, when I said, yeah, musicians in America can't say what they want, you know, except for American things.
Yeah.
And it got turned against me, and I feel like that's interesting, but now I have the right to talk about it because it really happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it happened to me. And it's not like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because I've been at the NFL, got sued for $16 million. You know, I've been at all these labels. I've lived in America. I've come from England. I come from Sri Lanka too, where I spent 10 years of my life. I lived through a revolution. You know, my people really got killed in 2009 when I was at the Oscars. I can say what the fuck I want at this point, because I know it, you know, and there were real personal consequences to some of the things that I went through. And so that was just an observation I made. It's like, since all of that storm, we Brexited.
So now, God.
Now we're really in the backyard of America.
Yeah, it's awful.
It really matters. You know, having those conversations actually really matter. Like, if American icons can't be global and see themselves as global citizens as well, then we should have that conversation now.
Yeah.
You know.
And you're bringing up these conversations. That's why, as a woman as well, and myself, and you're such an empowering woman in that sense. You're always repping the girls, and we need to be repped at all times. Obviously, you know. On a side note,
yeah, but I'm like a low key female representative.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't make it my thing.
Yeah.
But you know.
But as a woman, as a powerful, intelligent, talented woman, you are repping women in the right way.
Yeah, I never talked about it because I felt like there was other, like, battles I needed to have, and there's other women that can cover that corner,
yeah,
you know, who are, like, probably better at articulating it. But obviously, yeah, in your own existence, I am, you know, that. Like, I'm a mum, you know. I've had to represent Tamils, even though I was a musician. And those women, you know, I come from a place where I've seen, like, female fighters, and they're really strong and disciplined, and it always seemed like, you know, that was just a given, that I was inspired by, like, strong women that felt, you know, really sort of equal to men, you know. So yeah.
I really felt that in Bad Girls, obviously, the video itself. Not only is the fashion on point, again, your videos are always so beautifully shot, and everyone is wearing the exact thing to spark your attention and get you watching, but Bad Girls specifically sort of represents that element of the strong female fighter, and in a way. Is that how you saw it, or was that...
Yeah, well, that came after the Maya album, and the Maya album came before the Arab Spring, you know.
Yeah.
And it also came before the whole WikiLeaks thing and Snowden and stuff like that. So it was at the forefront of mixing these things together that people didn't really get in a pop sense, you know.
Yeah.
So to my fans, we would... discussing these ideas, and it was cool. You know, my fans were getting what I was saying about the internet changing hands. They were getting what I was saying about, you know, like Islamophobia and things like that.
Yeah.
They were sort of embracing it, because I'd already gone before talking about World Town, and that I was going to bring in communities and talk about things they might not be, like, comfortable with or whatever, you know. And then obviously the drifting thing, like, women can't drive in Saudi, and it seemed like an interesting thing to discuss at the time, to be like, it was just sort of like getting all of the stuff that I'd done on Maya album to come to a pop place at the end and present it in a video.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my tours were all about that, and I was working burkas as a look when it was getting banned, and you know, they banned that in France at the time, and now you've got, like, the burkini issue, and
which is just, like,
it's not going to go away. Do you know what I mean?
Whole shit storm right there.
And they're probably going to ban it soon in other places, because Apple have got rid of the headphone jack, and one of the best tweets I saw is that you could wear it under your headscarf, right? And you can't detect it, so kids are going to just be, like, wearing headscarves to school and cheat and, like, get A-pluses, which is kind of genius. And now I'm like, well, great, because of Apple's headphones, we're going to lose wearing headscarves at school or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they're all, like, sort of corporate decisions, but... as well as political, but corporate is political sometimes.
100%.
Yeah.
I've got a major fan on the phone who wants to have a little chat with you.
Okay. I'm eating chocolate right now.
Do you want to say hi?
Hey, hello. Maya.
Who's that?
Black Star. We got Black Star on the line.
I was like, I recognise that person. You're not my fan. Why are you lying?
Yeah, I had to get in through the back door.
Wow, I'm surprised you're awake.
I know, right?
Yeah, it must be well early right now.
So how you, Blackstar, how are you feeling now that album's out? Have you listened to it all back to back? I'm sure you already heard it, but...
Oh, man, that album is... To call it fire would be an understatement. Crazy, it's out of this world.
Always with the epic statements.
It's because it's epic, man. Tell us a bit about working with Maya on this album.
What'd you say?
Tell us a bit about working on AIM with on this album. Tell us a bit about it.
Working on AIM was like one of the biggest experiences. Like we started the album in London, and just the vibe there just set the tone, you know. And then we from London we went to Jamaica, and then we finished it off like the south of Brazil.
Blackstar's originally from Jamaica, like his parents are, so it was nice. Is that the first time you went to Jamaica?
Yeah, first time.
Yeah, so I got to take him to Jamaica for the first time.
That's amazing.
He didn't know what happened. He was like
off the chain.
Yeah, so that came after he was not afraid to come to London first. He had to come to London first though, but that was, you know,
That is a nice little trip when you're making music.
Yeah, that was nice.
Blackstar, have you got any questions for Maya live on FUBAR Radio?
No, I don't have any questions.
We don't ask any questions because we don't need to, because this album is too sick for words. Thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. We're gonna play your remix in a hot minute. We're gonna do a little bit more chatting first, though. Thank you so much. Big love.
Nice.
Bye. Thanks for checking in, Shorty.
What a guy, man. Thank you so much to Blackstar for coming to have a chat with us. Before we finish off, I wanted to play a little game with you that I play on this show. And it's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And in this game, everyone seems to have this reaction when I say dick on the radio. It's based on a game called Desert Island Discs, where you get sent to an island and given a choice of six best tracks, you know, to live on the island with. I'm not that nice. I'm sending you to this island with one awful, awful song that you're going to listen to for the rest of your life. So what, MIA, could you imagine to be the worst possible song to be stuck on a desert island? That is your desert island dick.
Oh, man. First of all, if you send me to a deserted island, I'd just be like, thank you. Thank you so much. What would it be? I think, you know, it's really hard for me. Damn.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a song that you dislike, it because I think a lot of the time it's a song that you probably do like quite a lot, but if you heard it over and over and over on this island.
Last time, what?
It's always the first one that comes to your head as well. But you know,
I can't because it'll have to be like my kid's six times table song. You know what I mean? It's like it's the one that he listens to every day. So right now it'd be something like that. It's just like, you know, Crazy Frog.
Crazy Frog's a good one. Crazy Frog is a very good one. I think everybody in the world can't listen to that more than once. Yeah. Even once is a strain.
Gangnam Style, like those kind of situations there.
Gangnam Style is definitely a one for me, I think. You can have a whole track list, if you want, of awful songs that you can keep on that desert island. You can have Gangnam Style, you can have even the Birdie song, if you want the Birdie song. You can have all Crazy Frog.
What's the latest one? The new sort of stuff, I really like the new sort of pop songs. Like, I love Katy Perry's Rise.
Yeah.
It's going to go all over the internet. But yeah, that was another thing. If you go to kids' like parties or whatever, like when you see 4-year-olds crying to Katy Perry, and you're just like, God damn it, how does she do that? How does she get that much of a reaction? Do you know what I mean? Like, I've seen kids like have a nervous breakdown over Katy Perry songs at birthday parties.
I mean, we've all been there. We've all been there.
Yeah,
so I kissed a girl. I was crying the whole way through.
Is it? Yeah, so
love that track.
Yes. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's been a personal huge pleasure to have you here. I love AIM. It's a wicked album. Hopefully you'll come back and see us another time when you're back. but enjoy the rest of the day of fun after the album release.
Thank you, thank you.
Woo. We're going to play the Black Star mix now.
I thought of the song I...
Oh, tell us. Desert Island Dick.
It's the one that goes, I don't care.
Oh, I love it. I can't remember who that's by.
Yeah, I can't do...
It's those two girls, though. Iconopop.
Yeah, Iconopop.
Iconopop, I don't care, MIA's Desert Island Dick. Thank you so much. Let's go with the Bird Song. This is the Black Star remix.
Not a liar, but sure ain't a vulture. Don't swallow that, cause I'm in the culture. I'm not a liar, but they ain't rich like an ostrich. Like an ostrich. Drop down, get your eagle on. Like a falcon. Fly phenomenon. Humming higher than a drone. Doves cry, are you going home alone? Squad block, migrate for the summer. Duck out for some hot weather. Birds of prey and I'm shaking like my feather. I believe like R. Kelly we can fly. Both two can fly together. Stay rich like an ostrich. Gully like a seagull. I'm cuckoo for you, let's talk. Like an ostrich.